Hey guys, thanks for tuning in today. I pray that this message you're about to hear not only inspires you, but it also encourages you to follow Jesus even more. In fact, there are probably people in your life who need to hear this timely word. Chances are, you might be thinking about them right now. I want to encourage you, share this message with them. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to hit the subscribe button. And also, I want to thank all those who support us. We wouldn't have any ministry outside of these four walls if it weren't for our friends who come alongside us in prayer and support us financially. There are thousands who are benefited by this ministry because of your giving, and we thank you for it. To continue or even to start supporting our mission to help others and their families follow Jesus, you can give by visiting cfmiami.org/give. All right, enjoy the sermon.
Come on, come on. Come on, Christ Fellowship. If you believe that in this place, come on, make some noise. There is none but Jesus. None but Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Man, I got to really quick, before we get started, I just want to give a really big shout out to our production and worship. We walked into the room this morning. Excuse me, not we, because you know I wasn't here this early. Play for your boy. No lights, sound, no way to transfer everything to the other campuses. So then the campus pastor's got to preach my manuscript, which is not good because it's an outline. And they worked tirelessly, and y'all came in and you're enjoying worship. I just want to give a big shout out to them at the beginning of Holy Week. Fighting. I love it. We're in the right place. We're in the right place, amen. Well, sorry, I didn't mean to do all that. My name's Al. I'm your pal. Glad to be here, man. I have the honor and privilege of serving as the campus pastor at Coral Gables. Big shout out to my peeps. Yes. And Josser over there, our student pastor, Dr. J. It's his birthday. Happy birthday, Dr. J. And I also have the honor and privilege of standing on the stage with these giants as well. Well, man, today we are kicking off Holy Week with Palm Sunday. And I want to keep it short and simple with you. I'm going to be honest. I want to give you maybe a little bit of information. And then I really want to encourage you. And then I really want to challenge the mess out of you. You may not like me after this. We'll be friends. I'm looking forward to what God has for us. Amen. So if you could, please turn in your Bibles to Matthew 21. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11, but right now I just want to focus on 8 through 11. But y'all know me, the student guy DNA, it hasn't died. Still the same guy. Still student guy DNA. So there is crowd participation involved in the reading of the Word of God. Amen? So here we are. I'll give us our countdown when it's your turn. No worries there. I'll give us our countdown. So here we are, Matthew 21, starting in verse 8. It says, most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road. And others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. And the crowd went before him and that followed him and were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. I love that. But here's a part here, verse 10. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. We're going to talk about that. Saying, who is this? Here comes our crowd participation. And the crowd said, here we go, ready, nice together, nice, big, loud, and slow. Ready, one, two, three. This is. Oh, amen and amen. Come on, yeah, you can praise God for that. If you're taking notes today or photos of the notes, I very simply would love to title this message, The King Has Come. Go tell it. Right? The King Has Come. Go tell it. We can use it. Don't got to be Christmas time to do that. Go tell it on. Pray for me. Let's take a moment. We are going to need God's help. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord, we're so thankful for all that you do. I love what we sang in that song, Crucified to Set Us Free. Lord, help us to be a people that are growing ever greatly in our love for you. I do ask now, Father, that you would speak to all of us in here today, because your servants are listening. And all of God's people said, Amen and amen. Well, you may be seated. You may be seated. I got a little bit of a confession to make in here. Is there anybody that likes to watch a little of those, like the little reality TV shows or anything like that? Shame the devil. Oh, yeah. So I was thinking, I saw some of these shows. One of them that was, it's like the show where they have to like disguise themselves and you have to guess who they are. This is The Masked Singer, I think is what it's called. Anybody ever seen this? It was like T-Pain did one, whatever. And I was like, okay, God bless us. But then, I was watching these other little reality shows, and there's one, I'm not like crazy about them, but there's one that I find super interesting, and it's called Undercover Boss. Anybody heard of this before? And it's where like the boss, they dress up, and then they go down and they experience the plight of their workers. They experience the plight of their people. They see how everything is. And, I can't lie. I always think like, man, I don't care what disguise you put on Pastor Omar. I'm going to know that brother wherever he is. It was really funny to me. I'm like, wow, oh, this is cool. But then I was thinking like, man, I wonder if anyone's ever done something like this with the undercover boss in real life, in the day-to-day in real life. And I found out it's not just for common folks or CEOs. Royalty does this. The queen has disguised herself and walked amongst her royal subjects. But the one that really sticks out to me that I think is interesting is the king of Jordan, King Abdullah. King Abdullah, when he took his throne in 1999, he was well known for disguising himself and walking amongst his people so that he could see how they were living, so he could see how they're being treated. So he can see how things are going. What's up, Dad? So he can see how everything is. And I think this is one of my most favorite stories because he has one where he shows up as a news reporter. He had another one. He disguised himself as an older man. But my favorite story out of all of these with this guy is when he disguises himself as a taxi driver. And he borrows a donkey. He borrows a taxi cab. And he takes it into town. And he's driving around town, the king, to see his royal subjects, to see how his people are being treated, to see how everything is. He's driving around town. And then could you imagine the first person that finally recognized that this was the king? Hey, this is the king in the taxi cab. Oh, he told it around the whole town. And before you knew it, that little taxi was surrounded by everybody. Can you see where I'm headed with this, church family? Our very King Jesus has come down here on this earth to live life with you and I, to experience what you and I experience. And when we recognize the King, oh, we've got to go tell this good news, amen? And so this is the big idea that I want to get across to all of us in here today, is that the sovereign King of peace has come. Let the church say amen. We must go out and tell others, amen? We must go out and tell others. And so you may be sitting there and asking yourself the question, what does that have to do with my life? What does it mean that he's the sovereign king? What does it mean that he's the king of peace? What does this mean for my life, and what does that look like? Well, these are all great questions, and I'm glad you asked. That's what we're going to find out in our text today. And here's what I want you all to do. Write this down as your first point as we're diving through this. Write this down as your first point is this, is that Jesus' mission gives our lives meaning. Jesus' mission gives our lives meaning. Let the church say amen. We're going to work it out. We're going to look at, right now, I want us to focus in on verses 1 through 5. In verse 1, it says, "Now when they," Jesus and his disciples, "drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage," or in the Hebrew, we would say it, Bethphage, "to the Mount of Olives," it says that Jesus sent two of his disciples. Everybody stop right there really quickly. I just want to explain a few things. Jesus, at this moment in time, it's recorded in John, he has healed a man, and he just didn't just heal a man. He brought a man back to life. And so now the whole crowds, everybody knows Jesus is like, yo, bro, this guy has the ultimate party trick. He brings people back to life, right? And so everybody's in town. They're all seeing and looking at this man. They're all seeing what's going on there. And Jesus then enters into the scriptures. It says that town, Bethphage. This is all has nothing to do with the sermon. This is like a side note when you go and read later. That word Bethphage or Bethphage there, it means the house of figs. And if you read this story, you'll see that Jesus curses a fig tree in the house of figs because there were no figs on it. And it's like, what does that have to do with anything? But Jesus was going into the town where his very subjects, his royal subjects, were supposed to know him and recognize him. And what happens to him at the end of the week? Spoiler alert, right? And so Jesus was going, and he's given this as a symbolism of what he's going to do to the people of Israel. So there he is in this house of figs. But then the next line there, it says, is that Jesus told two of his disciples. And I always found that interesting. Why not send five? Why not send seven? Why not just send one? Why not send all 12? Well, you have to know that the scriptures never, ever waste any words, and numbers are never wasted. Oftentimes, when we see numbers in the scriptures, there is a meaning to it. When I say the number seven, everyone knows, completion. When I say the number three, you think about these things of the Trinity. You say the number six, it represents man. But the number two here, what I find to be very interesting, is that it has to deal with witnesses. It has to deal with witnesses. God is calling his witnesses to go into the town. But here's another thing that I also want you to know, is that it does have to deal with witnesses, but it also has to deal with opposites or differencing of opinions. Meaning, these disciples were headed into town thinking that Jesus is about to inaugurate his kingdom. He's about to take over Jerusalem. He's going to kick the Romans out, and he's going to show the Almighty God, I have come in his name. We're running this place. So they have this idea in view that Jesus is going to come and take it by storm. But they leave with a totally different idea, especially by Friday. Do you see? This whole thing is setting up. This whole thing is setting up. You see his full control. Okay, let's dive back into this text. And then verse two, he says, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says to you, and if anyone has anything to say to you, say, the Lord needs them. Right? I'm about to start doing that when I'm Aubrey's like, hey, why are you getting more juice? The Lord needs it. I'm just trying to, So he says, the Lord needs them. And he goes, and he will send them at once. Now this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, on a foal, on a beast of burden. I have to explain a few things here really quickly. In verse 2 there, you'll see that in the Greek, this is in the perfect tense. Why do I mention this? Why do I bring this up? This has to deal with eternity past. So when Jesus says, you're going to see a donkey tied up there with the baby there, he's going, I've already had this set up. Do you see how he's the sovereign king in full control? He's no victim of this circumstance. He's in full control. He says, when you go downtown, when you go in there, you're going to see a donkey and the baby. Take them both and bring them to me. And of course, exactly like he said, there they were. And then he goes, this was to fulfill this scripture, this prophecy. It's found in Zechariah 9:9. You can put it up on the screen, where it says, rejoice, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming. And he goes, your righteousness and having salvation in his, he is humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, a foal. Now, here's one of the few things I need to point out. Because the scriptures never waste words, and anytime you see the word daughter or something like this in the scripture, when it's in the feminine, it has to deal with redemption. It has to deal with redemption. As you think about the picture of a woman is the one who carries a baby and can bring about a whole new life. And so when it says, say to the daughter of Zion, he's speaking with the idea of redemption, you see? And so he says, say to the daughter, Zion, I'm going to redeem you. And this is a prophecy. He says, your king is going to come to you, and your king's going to come not on a horse like kings do, but on the donkey, and not even the main donkey, the baby. Right? And I have to point this out. You can go and look these things up. This was normal. You would see these where David, for example, he had a donkey. And it would be a baby donkey that was never ridden, and it would be the king's own donkey. Now, here's what's very interesting about the donkeys in these days. the king would only ride the donkey during a time of peace. So when the king comes into town and he's riding on a donkey, what is he saying to his people? I'm bringing peace. Can I tell you, church family? Jesus, when he comes into the world in that moment, excuse me, when he comes into the city of Jerusalem in that moment in time, he is saying and proclaiming to his people that I'm bringing peace to you. There are some of you right now in this room or watching online right now, and you have no peace. And I'm telling you, the only way that you get it, the only way that you gain it, is through relationship with Jesus Christ. Right now, the king has come, and he has come as the king of peace. But write it down and look it up. In Revelation, the king comes back. He ain't on no little donkey. He's on a horse with a sword. No peace. And so I encourage you, I challenge you right now. If there's a stirring or a commotion in your life you're watching now, brother, sister, give your life to Christ. Cry out to God while the peace is still extended to you. Make that decision. Let his peace reign and rule in your life. And so you have to see this. Jesus is the sovereign king in full control of the whole situation. Do you think he was doing that and going, oh, dude, I can't believe I'm fulfilling Zechariah 9:9. How cool. No. He's in full control the whole time. And I love it. He's coming and he brings about peace for his people. He's bringing about redemption for his people. And so here's what I want you to know and understand. Jesus was on a mission. When he comes in on that triumphal entry, he knows he's dying on Friday. But he knows he's dying on Friday to bring about peace for everyone. Let me tell you, that's why I wanted to say that Jesus' mission gives our lives meaning. I've met so many people, especially those who have been wealthy, where they don't enjoy life at all. They find no enjoyment in life at all. And it has to deal with no relationship with the Lord. Legit, money can't buy happiness. I want to tell us a story of actually someone that recently perfectly illustrates what I'm talking about here, of someone who had it all and said, man, this is not living. This is no life at all. And this person is, the king of reggaeton, Daddy Yankee. Gasolina. Oh, pray for your boy. Now I know who's not saved up here. Not playing. Hey, bless. But if anyone knows, Daddy Yankee recently had a major life change. And he did his last show in Puerto Rico. Shout out to my Boricuas. You know, hey, if y'all watch the Mary series, you seen that, Pastor Sammy? Hey, great to be married to a Puerto Rican. Anyway, that's my dog. I don't know why I did that dance. Pray for your boy. Anyways. But I want to read this because Daddy Yankee, he performs his last show in Puerto Rico. And then at the end of the show, he has this to say. You can watch it on YouTube. If you speak Spanish, you'll very quickly interpret and understand this. But this is Daddy Yankee, his words. And he says this at the end of his show. He goes, my people, this day for me is the most important day of my life. And I want to share it with you. Because to live a life of success is not the same as living a life of purpose. Daddy Yankee, gasolina? Oh. He says, for a long time, I tried to fill the void in my life that no one could fill. I tried to find meaning in my life. And he goes, sometimes I appeared to be very happy. He says, but sometimes I was missing. He goes, but something was missing to me to make me complete. And I have to confess to you that day is over. Someone was able to fill that void that I no longer feel in my life. I was able to realize that for everyone, I was someone, but I was nothing without him. Yo, Daddy Yankee, I'm saying, wait, it gets better. It gets better. I better finish this part. Because he goes, now, anyone who knows me as Daddy Yankee should say, Daddy Yankee in Christ, Raymond Ayala in Puerto Rico. Hey, come on. And I love this last part here when he says this. He goes, a story is over and a new story is beginning, a new beginning. All the tools that I have in my possession, like music, social networks, platforms, a microphone, everything that Jesus gave to me, I am now going to use for his kingdom. And then he goes, I hope that you all walk with me in this new beginning. And I hope that something very important is recorded in you here. Do not follow any man. I am a human. All people that follow me should follow Jesus Christ, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. And then he ends it off stage by simply going, Christ loves you, and he's coming back. Come on. Daddy Yankee, despacito. What? Here's a man who had everything who says, it was nothing until I met the Creator. The real significance and meaning in life can only come from the personhood of Jesus Christ. It's no money, it's no fame, it's no boyfriend, no girlfriend, none of these things only Jesus can fulfill. Amen? It's the truth. That's where you get significance in your life. I can't lie. Seeing this story about Daddy Yankee, it makes me think of a quote from a preacher in London. Because a sermon ain't a sermon. It's just not, you know, without quoting Charles Spurgeon. A sermon ain't a sermon without quoting Charles Spurgeon. I love this. You can put it up on the screen if we have it. Here's what Spurgeon had to say. I love this little quote here. Bless the Lamb. I already blanked out on it. Pray for your boy. Here it is. Here's what Spurgeon says. Nothing teaches us about the preciousness of the Creator as much as we learn about the emptiness from everything else. Can you trying to find your fulfillment in all these different things? That was Daddy Yankee. Money, fame, woman, cars, whatever. No fulfillment. It only comes from Christ. For those of you in here, those of you watching online, to steal a line from that movie, The Help, ain't you tired? Ain't you tired? Stop running and give your life to Christ, amen? Jesus' mission gives our lives meaning. But now write this down as your second point, very simply. Our mission is to now tell others of this meaning. This is the part where we're going to be a little challenged here because the resurrected Lord, I'm getting oriented and everything, he gives us a mission. What is it? But look at what he says here. Everybody, let's go back to our text. Matthew 21 and verse 6, it says, and the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put them on their cloaks and sat on them. You can find this in 2 Kings, I believe it is. I'm blanking on the chapter, where you would see the leaders. They would take their cloaks off and put it on the donkey and jump on them. So it's very common. It was normal. But then he goes and he says this. It says, most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting. Now, this is fun. I was going to do this with us. I ain't going to do it. But I remember when I lived in Israel for a while, during the Passover for the Messianic Jews, when you read this portion of the text, everyone would stand up. Like a jump, right? Because it was saying this whole thing about Hosanna, how salvation has come. And I love this. So he says, the crowd, they said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And I love this. One thing you have to understand, that word Hosanna, Hoshina, this has everything to deal with. The word is help. And then the part there, the last in there on Hosanna, this is urgency, emphatic, now. So when he's coming into town, they're saying, help right now. Save us right now as Jesus comes into town. But think about it. Did the king himself say what he was doing? Did the king have to say what he was doing? Or did the people let everyone know what was happening? Oh, it was the people. And so are the people. They're there and they're shouting and they're singing this blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. But now let me continue on. I got to hustle. Listen to this part, verse 10. It says, and when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. Little darling, stirred up. Pray for me. Saying, who is this? The whole city was stirred up saying, who is this? Everybody underline, circle that word stirred there in your Bibles, because in the Greek, that word stirred there is the word sail. And it's the root of where we get our word seismograph. And a seismograph is used to measure the shake of an earthquake. And so literally what happened in Israel in this moment in time, and you can actually find it and look it up, of a recorded earthquake, the people were so loud that the city shook, that everyone there in the town, you could not, even if you wanted to deny who this person was, or even if you wanted to deny that they were there, they were so loud that they had to ask the question, who is this? There was no denying it. There was no hiding from it. Like right now for us in the city, we live downtown, and there's this thing going on called Ultra. God bless, you know. I'm like, your mama let you lead a house like this? Lord. But let me tell you, anywhere we are, last night, 2 a.m., this is shaking, you know. Adelaide's like, all right, this is fun. It's like, go to sleep, child. But I point that out to say it was so loud in there, it didn't matter where I was in the place. It was loud, and that's exactly what was happening with the people of Israel. They caused such a stir. They were screaming and shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. And that's found in Psalm 118. It's part of the Psalms of Ascension. You can skip that really quick production. Sorry about that. But I love that. It was the people there. And I just have to stop and make a note here, because we just came out of a marriage series. And it was a blessing to us, I know, amen? Okay, all right. God bless, okay, God bless. We working, okay. I know. But I just want to stop and make a point here. Because those who were shouting Hosanna on the road, y'all got to know, these were husband and wives, moms and dads, grandparents. Marriage is represented there. And I just have to stop and make a side note for all of us in here as parents. Parents, they are watching you. They are watching you. What you do, what you say, the things that you do unintentionally and intentionally. I wanted to show this really quick. I think we have a picture. I'm super that guy. A picture of my daughter. God bless. Yup, yeah. You would not know that is my baby, right? Yeah. She looked like Mookie all the way, you know. I was in Target a couple days ago, too, walking with her. And she's like, ah, and I was like, girl, you better stop. And this lady looks at me like, I am calling CPS. No, it's my child, I swear. But you look at Adelie, you can't tell that's my daughter. I mean, maybe a little in the nose or something. But let me tell you, she's in CF Kids right now. When you hang out with her, you can tell she's my daughter. Because she goes, yo. You know. Or I can't stand her. She goes, dude, no, dude. You know, and I'm like, I need to stop that, you know. And then another thing that I do, I don't know why I think it's funny, whenever I yawn and then I go, because it's like annoying to Aubrey and it's funny. You know, she's like, you're so stupid, and it's funny. So now Adelie, if she's yawning, she goes, Those are things that I'm doing unintentionally, and she's mimicking them. Do you see where I'm headed with this? I want to challenge us, especially our parents, our marriages in here, be intentional, especially this week, about your evangelism. Your children will never forget it. Your children will never forget you sitting down with them. Hey, little Johnny. Hey, little Susie. We're going to pray over this card right now. And then we're going to see what God does. They'll never forget it. And you can tell them, too. Hey, I'm scared. You know, I'm nervous.
What if they don't like her? I'm scared. Let's pray. Tell them. Go right ahead. Keep it real, mom and dad. Keep it real. But they'll never forget that experience that you prayed over a card and then that you finally see, and they see the result of someone taking this. Amen? I think about there's a person at our church. Nah, let me stop. Stick to the text now. And so I want to encourage us in here with this thought, this text here really quickly. This is found in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Write this down. Because the people were so loud. The people were the ones who gave the shout. The people were the one who caused everyone to go, who is this man? The people were doing this. God has entrusted us with this beautiful thing here. Listen to this. This is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 18. It says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. I love this, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling or bringing back the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Like that baptism video, like that guy, he goes down in the water, all those different things happen. He came out of the water a new man. It wasn't like God was like, halt, you can't get out that water, bro, you're dirty. No. Not counting their trespasses against them. And then he goes on to say this, and entrusting us with a message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. He didn't know sin. And I love it. He goes, for he made him to be who did not know sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. I love it. One preacher says that Jesus' life, the way he lived his life, when you put your hope and trust and faith in him, when God looks at Jesus, he sees all the filth that you've done. He's seen how you live. He's seen what you said. He's seen how you talk back to your spouse, how you've been mean to your spouse. You've been mean to your coworkers, mean to your kids, the thoughts that you have. When he looks at Jesus, he sees that filth. And when he looks at you, he sees the perfect righteousness of Christ. That's why he says he reconciled us to himself. Oh, church, if the roof don't blow, then you better give God a shout of praise. How many of you been there before? You needed forgiveness. You needed that redemption. You needed that mercy. You needed that grace. Some of y'all needed it this morning, probably. God bless. Ooh, you can't say amen, say ouch. But, so here's what I want to do, family. Because it's real simple. The King has come. You and I must go and tell it. You know, at Christ Fellowship, we have a very simple mission here. Is that we want to help you and your entire family follow Jesus, amen? And in downtown Coral Gables, one thing that I always say then, as I say, we're making it easy for you to succeed as a Christian and hard to fail, right? And so one of the ways that we're going to be helping you all is that you heard it in the beginning of service, is that next Sunday, we're going to have baptisms. Come on, somebody praise the Lord. We're going to have some baptisms. You can put that up on the screen. Here's what I want to encourage y'all. If you're in here right now, this is the layup. The baptism is a layup. Here's what I mean by this. Because it's the picture of you going in the water, like dying to your old self, and then raising again as a new person in Christ. You get the picture here. So you can invite friends, family, people that don't go to church. They're like, hey, man, just come see me get baptized. And that's a great way to share the gospel. Are you tracking with me? You're tracking with me? Yes, yes. So get your phone out, scan it right now. And this is a straight up plug for my campus because we can't baptize on Sunday because we're in Miracle Mile. So we're baptizing at the beach, bill bags. Come on, Lot A, holler at your boy. Yes, Lord. And yes, I see the queen right there, Vivi. She's going to be there too as my dog. But so we're going to have this. And this is a beautiful thing in here for all of us. A great way to evangelize and share your faith is by baptism. And I love it, especially if you're somebody who's like, man, I don't know what to say. I don't have much to say. You don't have to say anything. Just do the action, and they get to see it. Amen? You tracking with me? And so that's one great way for you to share your faith, to be hardcore about telling others of this meaning that Jesus has for us. But then the second one, really simple, is really simple, and I'm challenging all of us in here, is an invite. is a church invite. Very simple. You can pray, and I love it, man. You can give a hand to our guest services team. Come on, somebody. Because when you walk out of here today, you'll receive some invites. And let me tell you, they didn't pack themselves. That's the guest services. And so here's what I want you to do. Here's why we have these wrapped. I said this at our campus last week. We have them this way that maybe if you're a person who's a little more introverted and talking to five people that you don't know is a lot of work, we gave you a stack of five. Pray over those five and get rid of them. God will send people to you. And then if you're like a crazy person like me where you'll talk to a tree, take the whole bucket, right? Get rid of them. This is the time when people will come to church, and I don't want to get further into it, but those statistics, those numbers are going further down. Gen Z is not, they're not with it right now. We got some work to do, amen? You know, we got to work. I'll take the burden as a millennial, you know, but we got some work to do. So that's why I say, get busy in that this week. Go hardcore about it this week of evangelizing, sharing your faith. And it's so simple. There's a lady who serves in our CF Kids ministry, and when she first came here to Christ Fellowship, when she first came here to America, it was 15 years ago, something like this, she was here at some store or something like this, and a gentleman was walking by giving out invites, probably like the crazy owl person who's mad extroverted. And he hands her the card, and she goes, oh, I'm good on church. And he goes, oh, no, it's a fellowship. Look, it says it right there on the card. Can I tell you? She's here till this day serving in CF Kids, brought her whole family. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Did he preach the gospel? No. Hey, it's a fellowship. He handed the card. Now, I mean, if you need to know the gospel, be able to preach, right? Be able to explain it. But I'm just saying, for those of you who get intimidated, hey, no, it's not a church, it's a fellowship. I'll see you there, right? Simple, amen? And so we got to stay on mission. We have to stay on mission. Jesus' mission gives our lives meaning, and it's up to you and I, brothers and sisters, in this moment in time, because the King of Peace is here. The one in Revelation is coming back for war. And so God has put it on us to go and tell others of this good, great news. Amen? I want to close with this story. If you could imagine, the year is 1944, June 6th. Those of you who know your history, know your dates, you know that this is the very famous D-Day during World War II. To my millennials and Gen Z, pause, y'all know. This is a very famous D-Day this day. And as they make their way to Normandy Beach, America and our allies make our way into Normandy Beach to defeat the Nazi Germany army at this moment in time, there was a young man there by the name of John Pender. And he was a 5th Infantry technician. It was his job, his duty, to establish working radios at the front of the battle line so that we could effectively communicate with our allies to help us get further into the war to defeat the enemy. And if you've seen that movie, Saving Private Ryan, that was real. Bullets are flying everywhere, and John has his radio, and he's making his way to the front of the line, and would you believe it? Gets hit by a grenade. He's knocked out, knocked unconscious. John wakes up, but because his mind is focused on his mission of getting this message, he makes his way to the front of the line with the severe wounds and gets a radio there. But John, knowing that there's more to be established, he heads back to get more radio parts, and he builds other parts of the radio, and he does this trip 3 times in open fire. And on his second trip, he got hit in his legs by machine gun. But John, focused on his mission, crawls in open fire to build this radio. And then finally, there's a big final piece that they would need. John, wounded, badly, losing, I can imagine how much blood. gets this radio and crawls his way back to the front of the line to hand over this radio that would help us establish better communication, that would allow us to help advance and then ultimately win the war. Can I tell you, on John's third trip, he got hit again. And it cost him his very life. And so you can go and look today. He has the Purple Heart Award, the Medal of Honor. These are one of the highest honors that you can receive. But don't miss the point of why I'm saying this. John's mind was so focused on the mission of getting the message out that he would go and sacrifice, even if he had to, he didn't care about himself, he would sacrifice his own life if need be to get the message out. Can I tell you, church family, we're in no real physical war right now. We aren't. No one's shooting bullets at us. But there is a spiritual war going on right now. And I want to encourage all of us in here is that Jesus has entrusted you and I with the message of the gospel, with the message of hope, with the message that brings peace. Brothers and sisters, let's stay focused on our mission of getting the message out so that we can help those people like a Daddy Yankee who has it all and is miserable. And we can help them have true meaning in their lives, amen? Amen. The King has come. We must go and tell it, amen? Well, family, I want to invite us to stand in this moment in time. And before I pray out, I would be remiss not to address some people in the room here today, because maybe there are some of you who are here in the room and you know for a fact you have no relationship with Jesus. I just want to tell you, the only way to have real, true peace in your life is through Christ himself, amen? Yeah. You need to stop running around and try fulfillment in all these things. Start with Jesus. And then to the second person that's here in this room or standing across all of our campuses right now, you've come to church and you've heard some things, but you're a little skeptical. You're not sure. I want to encourage you, our Jesus is not hiding who he is. You can openly find who he is, the person of who he is, and there's proofs of him even outside of the Bible. Trust in him. And the third person that I want to talk to in here is the person that you come faithfully. You read. You share, but deep down on the inside, you know there's no real relationship. And I want to challenge you and encourage you and very simply say, stop playing around with God. He's not impressed. You don't need to impress him. You just need to trust him. You don't need to impress him. Just trust him, amen? And so if that's you in here today, I want to pray for you, and I want to challenge you and encourage you that at the end of service, go stop by our guest services. Get a brand new Bible. Get the Word of God in your hand. Join a small group. We have Rooted going on. Get rooted. Come on, somebody, right? Get rooted into a group and continue to grow in your relationship and walk with Christ, amen? Let's take a moment and pray. Lord, we're so thankful for each and every person that's here. God, I do ask now that you would take your word and use it beyond anything of what is said here. Help your people to be passionate, to be mobile, God, about sharing your word, about getting the message out like John. And Lord, I do ask for those who are in here right now or listening online or across our campuses, and there's a stir in their heart. God, I ask that you would help them to obey that stir, to lay down their life of sin and to put their hope, trust, and faith in you.
and that you would bring a community to come alongside of them and walk with them. Because, Lord, we know the Christian life is better lived together. Take your word now. Bless it for us, Father. Help us to be a people who are mobile and on mission to tell others of this great meaning. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, I love y'all, CF family. God bless you guys. And we'll see you next week. I'm going to call out your CPs.